Welcome to the NOLA Drink Show. Join us as we explore the world of drink, food, and culture in New Orleans and beyond. Here's your host, Brian Diaz.
All right, everybody, welcome to the program. Brian Diaz here with you. Happy to have you catching the NOLA Drink Show with me. Happy Friday if you're listening on the radio, friends. And if you're catching the show on podcast, happy whatever day it is that you're catching the podcast. Either way, I thank you for being here. Always a pleasure to have you here. Got a really good show coming up for you this time around. We welcome back our good buddy, Caroline Rosen, who is the president of Tales of the Cocktail. I've been trying for a year to get Caroline promoted to the intergalactic overlord of Tales of the Cocktail, but no one listens to me. So she is still the president of Tales of the Cocktail. We'll keep pushing. We'll keep pushing for the intergalactic overlord title. We pushed that ball a little further down the road during this show. But importantly, we're going to talk a little bit about Tales of the Cocktail, what's going on this year. What they're going to be doing in September is a hybrid event, meaning that they'll do some stuff virtually like they did last year, and they'll do some stuff in person, but it'll be very disseminated, meaning that people from around the planet will be able to do in-person events where it's allowed, so like pop-ups in bars and things like that. So it's going to be really neat. We let you know some stuff going on there and how you can participate. We also talk a little bit about the 2022 event because it is going to be full on Tales of the Cocktail in July here in New Orleans. If you are not familiar with the event, and I sometimes assume that you are because most people that listen to the show are kind of tied into that stuff, it is the world's largest bartender and spirits conference in the world, and in normal times takes place every July here in New Orleans. It's a terrific event. Obviously, as I just touched on in 2020, they did things virtually, like we all have been doing this year, kind of a hybrid event because they took a very prudent and I think smart approach. And then 2022, the whole idea is to get back to the thing, the do at Tales of the Cocktail. And so we also find out Caroline's kind of splitting her time between Mexico and New Orleans, mostly Mexico. So we hear a little bit about what's going on down there south of the border and a lot more with her. So it's a really fun conversation, as it always is when Caroline joins the show. Quick programming note for you next time. I think I noted this on the podcast version of the previous episode, for what that's worth. We're going to be welcoming back on the next program, Bart Watson. And Bart is the chief economist for the Brewers Association. The Brewers Association is a trade and advocacy organization that represents the lion's share of craft brewers here in the United States. Bart was on in the fall, I believe it was, last year, talking about the state of the craft beer industry. And kind of when Bart was on last time, we knew what had gone on in quarter number one, number two, and number three. Most of quarter number one, for certain, took place before COVID hit, or the biggest chunk of it did anyway. So it was looking like a pretty good year. And then obviously COVID second and third quarter were very rough in most ways, but we didn't really know what was going to happen, obviously, in the fourth quarter because it hadn't happened yet. And then sort of being able to look back on the entire year of 2020. So I was able to extract a promise from Bart at the time that he would come back on the program once some of the 2020 stuff had rolled out, and that has taken place. So Bart's going to join us. We're going to talk about their annual production report, which they just put out not too long ago, some things that he's seeing, kind of, you know, put a bow on 2020 and move forward and talk a little bit about some of the stuff he's seeing in 2021. One of the take-home messages that I got from reading the synopsis of the report is that the craft beer industry is pretty resilient. Certainly, it's been some tough sledding for everybody, don't get me wrong, but, you know, some good signs, too, of the bounce back. I was actually just reading something that Bart put out today that was even signs further of good news. And no one wants me, as I said in the previous podcast, no one wants me interpreting economics. That's why we bring the experts on. That's why we're bringing Bart on. That'll be the show next time around, friends. So stay on the lookout for that. What we're going to do here is we're going to take a little break from the programming, and then we're going to come back via Zoom, the miracle of technology, and talk with our friend Caroline Rosen down in Mexico City, talking all about Tales of the Cocktail and a whole host of other things. Come on back.
Well, my book has got...
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. Brian Diaz here with you, WGSO 990 AM in New Orleans and in podcast land, wherever you may be. Thanks for listening into the show, friends. Happy to have you here, as always. And as you know, we're chatting with my good buddy, Caroline Rosen, who is south of the border. Caroline, how are you?
I'm doing great. It is so good. I know that we're seeing each other via Zoom right now, but it feels good.
It feels great. I haven't had a chance to even talk to you in whoa, did we do a Zoom show? Like, we did a Zoom show, like, probably about 9 months ago, right? Or something leading up to Tails last year, maybe, like, June of 2020, something like that, I think.
God, I cannot believe. I mean, it's just, I think we can all relate to, like, the time warp. It's like, that's wild. But, yeah, I think you're right.
I have no clue. I was talking to somebody about something the other day. And I said, yeah, God, wasn't that like 3 years ago? And they're like, dude, it was like 5 months ago. And you're like, oh, okay, cool. Yeah. Sure. I'd believe that. Right. You can tell me anything. You tell me 5 years, 3 months, I'd believe anything that you told me and anything in between.
Totally.
Yeah. So awesome. Well, and as people know, you're the president of Tales of the Cocktail, but you are currently residing in Mexico, in DF, the capital city, Mexico City. And, you know, ¿qué de tu español ahora? How's your Spanish these days? Awesome. Okay.
I'm getting there. I always joke, and the joke like sometimes hits here and sometimes it doesn't. But I'm like, guys, I'm originally from Alabama. English was hard enough for me. No, I'm loving it. Yeah, I'm based here in Roma Norte, and I'm really excited. You know, still very close to home, but really loving, you know, getting to see a new environment. I'm back in New Orleans very often, which is great, but it's wonderful, and I can't wait to host y'all down here and to show you a little bit of it,
because I can't
there's
wait.
Just amazing spirits, amazing bars, amazing people. It reminds me a lot of home.
That's awesome. And you said you had a familial connection, right? You had a great uncle that lived there, and so you spent a lot of time there.
Yeah. My great uncle actually lived here in Tasco, and he was like one of the, his name was William Spratling, and he was actually, they called him the Silver Gringo, and he actually helped bring the silver jewelry trade back to Mexico. And he actually made most of Frida Kahlo's jewelry, and I was very plugged in. So I've always had a romantic relationship with Mexico, with the people, with the food, with the drinks. And it just seemed to be the right time to come down here for a little bit.
You know, and actually, Caroline, now we were talking about it before, and now that you said the story, you've told me that before. So I'm going to say COVID fog on the brain. I totally forgot that your uncle and the silver jewelry stuff and all that. I'm sure this conversation took place over drinks at some point, which I can blame that as well for not remembering exactly. But that's right. Oh, that's really cool. Okay. Awesome.
Yeah. So definitely loving it. And it's so interesting. I've never lived, for those of you who have never had the chance to visit Mexico City, I can't recommend it enough. But I think we're 5,000 feet higher than like Denver, Aspen, any of those. And it's like this very dry climate. And, you know, I'm from Alabama and Louisiana. You know, I've always been in humidity and heat. And so it's been really interesting, like waking up in the morning to like cool, brisk mornings in the afternoons. I'm like, where am I?
That's so, you're going to, well, I'm taking you up on your invitation because you're about to make me cry as we come in. You know, it's already humid here in New Orleans. Oh goodness. That's amazing. So, well, since we're kind of on the subject, Caroline, so we were talking before we went on the air, and I really like what you said, because you said it's such an exciting, vibrant time in Mexico City for the cocktail scene. And kind of tell me what you were telling me before we went on the air and kind of what you're seeing.
Yeah. I mean, I think what's so great here is, a ton of different things, but there are so many wonderful bars here in Mexico City. Some of our dear friends are actually partners of Limon Tour, which is kind of the original cocktail bar here that just celebrated their 10th anniversary 2 days ago. We're seeing a lot of people come in from other places, but we're also seeing a lot of amazing Mexican talent here. And it's everything from, you know, traditional bars that are really focusing on mezcal and agave as a whole. Like, I think it's really, really great to be able to travel around Mexico. And of course, all of this safely. I'm vaccinated now, which is great. But, you know, really diving deep into all the agave spirits. When we look at tequila, mezcal, bacanora, racia, like, it's just this whole world of there's so many resources here and there's so much talent here that it's a really, really exciting time to be in Mexico and really getting to see this industry grow even after such a hard time. And recently, our friends that have this amazing bar in Mexico City called Hanky Panky, they've been hosting bartenders from other parts of the globe, as have our friends at the Four Seasons Hotel. Oh, and cool. So recently, we've had in friends from Colombia, from Brazil, from Milan. We have an amazing bar, Carnival, and from Peru. And then we're actually having a bar from Barcelona called Paradiso in next week. So it's been like great to connect. And a lot of these people have, if they haven't been to Tails, they've obviously heard of Tails. And I'm just excited as we start looking to Tails, the hybrid Tails, as we're calling it this year in September, but in-person Tails next July.
Yeah, for sure.
On how we can really bring so many of these amazing global spots that just have so much love and respect for not only the U.S. Hospitality industry, but specifically for New Orleans and what our bars and restaurants have been able to do there. And I'm kind of connecting dots.
Hey, you're there, right? So be the conduit. Yeah. that's amazing. Yeah. So, we'll get back to Mexico in a minute, because you touched on something that I wanted to get on a little bit. So last year, obviously, Tails was in, was it September or October? I can't remember. COVID brain. Was it last September or was it last October?
Last September.
September, right. And so anyway, right around there, and it was virtual. And I was sort of wondering, and like, I think that's kind of what you were getting to, is that you guys learned a lot, I'm assuming, through that process of how you can combine the virtual world with the physical in-person kind of world. And so you're talking about a hybrid event this time, but it sounds like it's probably opened some doors to the just the programming permanently.
Absolutely. I mean, if you've ever attended Tales of the Cocktail in New Orleans, you know that we
never. Oh, no. Okay.
Never.
Oh, you're not talking to me. Okay, cool.
Like, Brian is basically, he is the unofficial king of Tales of the Cocktail.
Oh, goodness,
like,
no.
Around, he knows everyone. He's pointing. I think, you know, one of the things that we've always been extremely proud of is our education. And education has always had a price tag on it. But and in the future, in person, I'm sure that there will be some way that we would ask for people to donate. But what we found this past year is we had over 7,000 people tune into our digital conference, which is great. But we had over 100 countries from across the world accessing and engaging in these conversations, in these topics. Because, like, our retention rate, like, you can see if people like click in, click off, and this is obviously, you can tell how I'm very digital savvy. I'm saying, click on, click off. My team actually is. And, you know, I think for us, it's like, I feel such responsibility to make sure that we continue to stream these educational programs. I mean, it's going to be tough, even in the best of years, for people from Kenya to get to New Orleans. But we saw just this huge impact of having these conversations and opening them up to the world that we're going to continue to do that. And I think, you know, this year we hope to take that next step. And again, I'm putting the caveat, like, we are going to make sure that everything that we are recommending to do is safe by CDC guidelines and that we're following all of the protocol that we should. But, you know, I think that stuff this year is like, we want to bring Tails to your community. And the theme for Tails this year is community, because right now for our hospitality, and New Orleans is a hospitality city. That is what we do. That is what we do best. We need to help each other. And we know that people have had such an incredibly long and rough road. We want those consumers, as well as our trade industry, to go out and support those bars and to support those restaurants that have great bar programs, because we all have to band together to get to that next step. But really, you know, brands have always focused solely on New Orleans during that week. But this year, I'm excited to see pop-ups all over the world. You're going to be able to go to the Tails of the Cocktail website and say, oh, I'm in New York. What Tails events are happening in New York today? You're either going to be able to go out and get involved in those in person. You're going to be able to stream it from home if you can't go out or if you don't feel safe going out. And I'm just really excited to see the creativity of our community, and also to get people back in bars.
That's terrific, Caroline. And I think it's really important, and you stated it well, because I mean, obviously we know Tails is important economically to New Orleans and to the hospitality industry in particular in New Orleans, because it's our low season here in July. And that's when a lot of our good friends make some money during low season. But I think your point, like when you're talking about in the best of years, somebody coming from Kenya, it's very difficult. And people that work in the hospitality industry, and it depends on where you are in the world, but lots of times summer is high season. So being able to travel and take, you know, a week off or so, 5 days off of work to come to New Orleans, whether they, you know, putting whether they can even afford it aside, yeah. I think it's a great way to engage so many more people to actually feel like they're a part of the event.
Yeah. And I think it's going to be, I mean, again, our education, we're going to have a lot of, you're going to be able to stream it, right? And I think it's going to be fun because, you know, we're even talking about like, our goal this year is, again, to focus our dollars on bars. So we're not having a big hotel event. We're not doing that. But I can see some of these conversations happening in bars and being streamed to other bars across the globe. And I don't know. I'm just really excited to, again, it's one of those, like, it's, and Brian, I don't know, you've been to more Tails than I have, but it's almost like we're all getting that year to reset, to gather as we can, but then really ramp up for July 2022, which we're back then. We're back.
I can't
and,
wait.
You know, I think what's going to be super fun is, you know, so Tales of the Cocktail Hybrid will happen the week of September 20th this year. We will go back to July and 2022 in person in New Orleans. And that's going to be less than a year before we're all back together again. And we're talking to our partners right now. We're talking to bars. We're talking to bartenders. And, you know, I think that we're going to see some campaigns that even launch in September that is that road to Tails, right?
Oh, and nice. Okay.
The other crazy thing is 2022 is the 20th year of Tails. Can you believe that?
Oh, wow. That's right. That's right. Okay. Goodness. Wow. Okay. That's amazing. So you got to plan a Fandango around that for sure.
Ooh, it's going to be big.
So. Just being back together in person doing Tales will be a 20th anniversary present enough, right?
Right. It's going to be wonderful. So this year, I think it's going to be great. We're going to be able to show people a little bit of New Orleans hospitality in each of their communities across the globe, and then really ramp up for 2022.
That's really, really exciting, Caroline. I'm really happy that it's going to be coming back here. So, and we'll reiterate this a couple of times, but so September 20th through the 23rd for the hybrid event, a lot of stuff's going to be streaming online. Do you guys have an inkling? I know it's still probably early and people are signing on, but like, is there a goal for the number of pop-ups or number of locations you guys are striving to get on board? I know it's probably tough to say.
Yeah. I mean, we don't have a goal. I think for us, it's like, and each brand is in a different place right now. I mean, and each bar is in a different place right now.
Sure.
We're not putting any specific, you know, goals around it, but we're trying to be flexible with our partners and with our bars and saying, listen, let's go ahead and get something on the books. And if it's not safe to be in person, then we'll stream what you were going to do digitally. Like, I think in this day and age, we all have plans like A through F at minimum.
Right.
So we're definitely in that like A through F planning. And I think it's, again, at least right now, and I'm knocking on woods, it's not the case everywhere, but the U.S. and specifically New Orleans has had such an amazing rollout of the vaccine. I mean, New Orleans is like at 50% vaccinated now, isn't
it? We're looking pretty good. And even Louisiana, where you know how it is. I mean, Louisiana is always like 47, 48, 49, 50 and something, or 1, 2, and 3, not in a good way. And we're actually doing pretty well here. Well, hey, Caroline, do me a favor. Let's take a little break and then hold that thought, and we'll come back and we're going to talk a little bit more about Tales of the Cocktail, some of the programming happening year round. We're going to talk about Mexico. We're going to get a little more further update on your Spanish progress, a few things like that. So friends, we're going to take a little break here on the Dola Drink Show. Come on back. All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Brian Diaz here. Thanks for listening to the NOLA Drink Show. Friends, we are chatting with our good pal Caroline Rosen, who is the president, the intergalactic overlord. I almost forgot about that. The intergalactic overlord of Tales of the Cocktail. You were promoted the last time you were on the show, which was either last June or 2 years ago or 3 years ago in June, whenever the hell it was, like we were talking about. And that's how you became the intergalactic overlord. Did that actually take? I mean, I don't know if I have any... I mean, you said that I'm sort of the king of Tales of the Cocktail, which is far, far, far from the truth. I swing no axe. So did you get a raise and did you get the title? Is it on your business card now?
You know, not yet, but we're still here. So okay. After the year that we've had, I think that that's about as good.
Fair enough. Okay, everybody. Yeah, all promotions are put on hold. By next right. year, Intergalactic Overlord will be
exactly. Okay,
awesome. And you're down there, Caroline, in Mexico, which is really, really exciting. It's been fun to hear what you're up to there. And you were mentioning, just to touch back on that again, so with like the cocktail scene in Mexico City, and you said you've been spending like a lot of time in Oaxaca and tequila and all that good stuff. Are we seeing like the cocktail scene just in DFA in Mexico City, in general, is there a lot of, how should I say, sort of locally driven stuff? So like people are using local spirits, people are building it off the local culture, as opposed to saying, we're just going to try and make Sazeracs down here.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it's so interesting. There is like the natural resources of Mexico are just, I mean, unbelievable in and of itself. Xochimilco, which is like one of the biggest producers for most of the agriculture in this area, is only 45 minutes away. And we're seeing, you know, bars that actually have their own areas out there that they're able to cultivate and bring it back into the city. I think, you know, the other day I had the most amazing like avocado mezcal like cocktail creation. Ooh. That was like bright. Ooh. And light, and they actually showed that like the avocado trees and where the agave came from were within like 50 feet of each other. I mean, it's just like absolutely amazing, beautiful things. And I also think it's such a global city. I mean, Mexico City is a city of 27 million people, that we're also seeing all of these amazing bars that are able to pop up here safely and, you know, kind of riff off of some of the Mexican resources and ideas that they have here. So it's a really great time to be here. I'm super excited that I've been able to get to know this community better. And again, I invite all of you when it's safe and when you can to come visit, because it's just it's a really, really inspiring community here.
That's awesome. Are we seeing stuff like in different neighborhoods in the city kind of taking off in different ways? Because I mean, like you said, it's at least 27 million people, right? I think that's like the official, and then probably a few million more. But I mean, are you kind of seeing like different pockets that are being inspired by different things? And
yeah, I mean, they're definitely like some of the neighborhoods that are like traditionally, like, you know, have these places like Roma Norte, where I live, Condesa Polanco. But now you're starting to see some of those, you know, like more family friendly areas. And, you know, again, not some of those like top three ones to have it. And you're even seeing like modern cantinas. I mean, I actually just got back from Oaxaca yesterday, and it's interesting. You're seeing in some cases it's second generation or it's fifth or sixth generation palenques that are like, we now will make a cocktail out of mezcal. For so long, you know, a lot of the culture bearers of cocktail of mezcal like didn't think that you could make cocktails with it. So it's fun to see that that growth and to see those conversations and obviously what they're creating. I think we're just at the tip of the iceberg. And with agave in general, I mean, it's more, everyone knows tequila. Most people know mezcal, but as we start seeing like more and more really cool Racia brands and
Sotol, yeah, which is a cousin.
Sotol is sure. A cousin. And this is a Bacanora that I actually that a friend of mine came over and tasted and I bought. And I'm excited because there's just so much. And, you know, every time I feel like I'm getting my hands wrapped around it, it's like, oh, there's another 300 varietals of agave that, and then they're still cross-pollinating. It's one of those beautiful journeys that I think you never really, the more you know, the more you don't know.
It's exactly true,
like,
right?
Oh, yeah.
That's exactly true. I mean, I think it's something like, what is there? Something like 200 or 300 agave varietals and that, but I think like up to 40, 50 are at least somewhat used in spirits production. So,
yeah.
And then you talk about these cousins, like we were talking about. Well, you know, I saw a really cool picture of you on the gram the other day because you were out, you were carrying an agave pina.
Yes.
So were you helping out with harvest? What was going on there?
Yes. Helping out with the harvest. I mean, I've really just been trying to soak it all up and go and see and experience. I mean, I obviously know that I am a green guy, and I'm very respectful and appreciative that I'm getting to see some of these processes and help out. I mean, it's just, it's unbelievable. After you go to these palenques and you actually see what goes into making mezcal, that like we have it as much as we do.
Yeah.
It is still such a process that is so, it just takes a lot of time and a lot of work, and it's beautiful. And yeah, we're going to have to do some more things down here. It's really, really interesting. And I'm excited for you to get down here.
Hell yeah. I can't wait. I absolutely cannot wait. It's going to be really fun. I look forward, and thank you for the invitation. So can we touch on this a little bit, Caroline? Cause you mentioned it. So I know like you haven't firmed anything up, but since you've been there, as you said, you're connecting the dots. So you're starting to explore some ideas of doing some stuff in, in Mexico.
Yeah. I mean, I think that we would love to. This year we have Tales in September, and then we'll have Tales next year in July. But I think that there is opportunities for us to, as long as the world continues on this path of recovery, to really see how we as Tales can amplify and really help showcase some of the wonderful things that are happening in these communities. And I don't think it would come as a surprise, since I'm down here, I'm obviously lobbying very hard within our team to share these stories and experiences. And I think we'll have an announcement closer to Tales to see if it can happen. There are obviously a lot of variables, but it could be something really, really special.
That's fantastic. Awesome. We'll stay tuned for that, and we'll have you back on when that happens. Well, Caroline, we got about 2 minutes left before we take a break. And we'll come back to this after we take a break. But you talked about the team, and I know everybody has been working really hard at Tales, and I've obviously been in touch with some of your team, some of my friends that work there, and I know people are wearing multiple hats. But it seems that things are kind of turning a corner, right? I think you guys are trying to grow the team back a little bit, and I know you had to, you know, like a lot of people, had to trim things down. Now we're building back up.
Yeah, we were actually, you know, in the process of looking for a marketing director, and we are. I think that we are all like cautiously. I think now it's not that we're more cautious. Yes, we are all more cautious, but I think we also now have, like I said earlier, plans A through F at all times.
Right,
right. But I don't want to be too, you know, one of the things that a lot of the people that I respect in this industry have said is like, we don't need to obviously like come back to this and say, we're going to be better in 6 months, because that we know that that's not the case. This is going to take multiple years. And I think that there are some things that we still haven't even unearthed with, you know, the last year that we've had, but I like to say that I can at least see the light at the end of the tunnel now. Right. And there were many, many months that I think many of us were like, we can't even see the light.
It makes it hard to plan, right? And it makes it hard.
Yeah.
And optimism is so important to be able to move forward with things.
Yeah. And so I think that's really exciting. And again, being able to have this hybrid Tales this year and already planning for next year in person is, that's exciting, because I think that momentum will continue to pick up. I don't know. I think 2022 is going to be the roaring 20s for us.
I think
that we'll hopefully globally be in a place. And I think, again, places like New Orleans are leading that charge right now. But, you know, I was saying we're all like slowly getting reintroduced into society too. It's like, do you hug people again? And the answer is yes, I have hugged some people.
Right, exactly.
At least for me, hugging's back.
It's weird when somebody extends their hand to shake your hand and there's like that quick, there's that pause thing. Because, you know, exactly. I'm a huggy person, so it's like it's taken a great deal of restraint to not this past year. Well, Caroline, can we take a quick break and then come right back?
Sure.
Okay, cool. Friends, we're going to take a little break here on the NOLA Drink Show. Come on back.
Well, my book has got...
down yonder, down on the farm, down yonder, where I was born, way down yonder on the farm, raise that chicken and raise that corn, down yonder, down on the farm, down yonder, meet Sue and Tom, we go ballin' with Uncle John.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Brian Diaz here with you, WGSO 990 AM in New Orleans and in podcast land, wherever you may be. Friends, thanks for listening into the show. Always a pleasure to have you here. Always a pleasure to have my buddy Caroline Rosen on, president of Tales of the Cocktail down there in Mexico. And very cool house, by the way. I've got, because you've been like sort of walking around here and there a little bit during the breaks and when we're recording, and you've got some cool digs there, Caroline.
Thanks. You know, it was funny. Everyone was like, what did you take to Mexico? I was like, I took some artwork and some clothes. That's about it. Right. But no, I love it. It's beautiful. And like we said earlier, it's so bizarre being in this dry heat. I love it. Who knew?
I will not complain like we were talking, you know, because we're coming in. This is when I always like, we're not quite there yet, but I always like to say it's like the slow, long death march to August. That's about to kick in about a month and a half, where, you know, and now it's like they'll say the so-called cold front is coming through. It's not a cold front when it doesn't drop like 10 or 15 degrees. When it goes from like 85 to 82, that is not, I don't care what anyone says, that is not a cold front. That's a lie.
That is a lie.
Lies. Meteorological lies. Yeah.
You heard it here first. If you're calling that a cold front, Brian and I are going to tell you. That is a lie.
Hot take. That's, yeah. And I do believe in science, friends. You listen to this show a lot. I do believe in science. But anyway. Well, so like in your neighborhood, and we'll get back to Tales in a second, like are you kind of in within a stone's throw of some cool places to wander to, yeah, and stuff?
Yeah, so I'm six blocks away from Le Montour. I'm like five blocks away from Waikiki, but just like a really, really vibrant, beautiful area, very walkable, very green. I think it's really interesting when people come to Mexico City, they're like, you don't know, it's hard to comprehend how lush it is. There are also a ton of dogs. So I obviously have Ginger Rosen back in New Orleans, but I also got they're called a salchicha here in Mexico City. And I got a little puppy, a little Dachshund puppy.
I saw that on the gram too. That's cool. It's yours. Yeah. So I didn't know. That's great. Okay.
You know, we're just diving in head first around here. So he has also been to many of the bars and restaurants. He's been to Contramar. He's been to Pujol. He's been to Le Montour. So he's already has a great palate.
What a worldly perro. What a worldly perro right there. That's that's amazing. Exactly. And more places than me. I'm totally jealous. It's like that investing commercial where the dog has a better life than you. Your dog has a better life than me. Well, that's awesome. That's so cool. I'm so happy for you. And you seem really stoked to be there. Well, let me, Caroline, let me ask you about like Tales, because we know, and I usually ask you this when we're on, or when you're on the show with me, because a lot of people obviously know the event itself, and especially people that listen to this show, but so much of what goes on, and I know things got upended with COVID and so on, but so much of what goes on with the organization is stuff that happens year round. Like you mentioned education. So the education committee, the education grants program, and there's a lot of other programming that you guys do, especially in normal times. So let's talk a little bit about that stuff trying to get some of that stuff back online, I'm assuming, right? Some of the stuff that Absolutely. Couldn't just be online technically, but get some of these events back in place. Sorry.
Yeah,
no pun intended.
I'm like, online in person. No, absolutely. This year we were really excited to do a Mardi Gras Gives campaign. So it was specifically for New Orleans. We had about six partners come in and we were able to give out $250 stipends to bartenders in New Orleans that were also impacted directly by closing down the city for this past year's Mardi Gras. And we're working on our greater grants plan for this year. We have our lovely education committee. We added about 12 new global members to that committee this year. We just wrapped up calls for admissions, had an amazing group of people that really have put so much time, energy, and effort, even during this crazy time, into some really thoughtful education seminars. And I'm really, really excited to roll those out this year. And, you know, one of the things that we've said is like, there's obviously been a lot of online education, but we're going to be bringing things to the table that have not previously been covered and really covering them with experts from all over the globe. And that's the beauty of this world that we're living in right now, is we do have access to so many people through conversations like this and being able to Zoom and video. And that's exciting. We have the Spirited Awards. And the Spirited Awards are going to look much different this year. You know, like, there is no best high volume bar this year, but what we did, you know, it's just, that's it. That's the world that we're living in. But we want to be thoughtful and make sure that we are celebrating those that have done so much for our community during this time. And we've seen so many people that have been podcasting and writing and have been really busy and integral to keeping our community alive during this, that we absolutely want to be able to recognize some of those contributions. We're taking our cocktail apprentice program virtually this year. They're going to be doing some great web seminars for us that people can kind of tune into from all over. And
Caroline, are people is the application thing open for Cocktail Apprentice, or how are you guys handling that?
You know, it's not open yet. And I think that this year we're really focusing again on the classes that we've had and our alumni, since that we're not going to be activating in the big hotel or with the big tasting rooms this year. Sure. But we'll obviously be bringing that back to life in a big way for Tales 2022. But we do want to keep it alive. And we have so many fantastic people in that alumni network that are excited to kind of share a little bit of what they do. And, you know, it's hard to know what the caps do during Tales, because they're always working. You don't see all the details of what they do. And I think it's going to be really interesting to have that come to life this year. And then the other thing that we're doing, which I'm super excited about, is we are actually doing a Spirited Awards map. So this is our 15th year for the Spirited Awards, and we have over 1,000 people, places, and spirits that from across the globe that we are actually going to put on a map. So whenever you're able to travel again, you're actually going to see those institutions and people on an easy map. So our goal is to really target this to consumers. Like, we know now with our community, we need consumers to know about our bars and our bartenders. And I'm really excited about this tool, and it will be something that's evergreen and that we change every year. And yeah, it's going to be epic.
That's a great idea. So it'll include like the nominees and the winners and sort of everybody that you can check out where they're at.
Yeah.
What a great idea. What a great idea. Cause that's like, you know, when you want to go somewhere, it's sort of like a great way to shortlist some places that you, that you want to go check out. I think that's fantastic.
Totally.
Fantastic. Well, Caroline, let's do this, because we got about 2 minutes or so thereabouts before we have to close out the radio portion of the show. And friends, right now, I will encourage you to go to the website, noladrinks.com, get the podcast, because Caroline will be sticking around for our podcast-only segment, Another Shot with Nola Drinks. But Caroline, tell people where we can connect. People can connect online with Tales of the Cocktail, like website and social media and all that good stuff.
Absolutely. Please feel free to check us out at talesofthecocktail.org or Tales of the Cocktail on Instagram with an underscore in between each of tales_of_the_cocktail. And from there, we're also on Facebook, Twitter, everything else that you can think of. So please check us out. Stay up to date. Make sure that you go ahead and block some time for that September 20th week. It will be free to everyone who would like to attend, and we will have maps for your community, or at least a schedule of your community, of where you can hopefully, if it is safe, attend those in-person activations as well.
It's really exciting. And friends, I will encourage you to please do check out, especially since it's free. And last year with the online stuff was really fun, Caroline, because it was so, it was nice. I mean, in a weird way, I found very enjoyable that I could just put on a seminar and be in my kitchen putting something in the slow cooker and watch the seminar and make a drink and kind of hang out. So, I mean, there was some really upside to it. Now there's no substitute for being in person, but it was such a nice way to like not miss things. you know, because there's so much that goes on in tails in person that it's hard to kind of keep up. And this was a great way to just be like, okay, if I can't catch this one, I can catch it later on YouTube. And it's totally cool. Oh, that way. It's fantastic. Well, friends, what we're going to do, we're going to close out. We're going to see what Caroline is opening up in her box. Hopefully it's a, hopefully it's a present for me. Oh no, it's lunch. Okay. So Caroline's going to have lunch. We're going to make her stick around for just a few minutes and then we're going to let her eat. But if you are listening on the radio, friends, go to noeldrinks.com, get the podcast. But again, if you are listening on the radio, I do appreciate it. Remember to be kind to one another, use your turn signal. And until next time, cheers, y'all. Everybody, have another shot with Noel Drinks. Thanks for sticking around, friends. Hope you are digging on our conversation with the intergalactic overlord, I mean, president of Tales of the Cocktail, Caroline Rosen. And we're going to bounce right back over to that conversation. Here we go. All right, everybody, another shot with Noel Drinks. Brian Diaz here with you. Thanks for sticking around here on the program, friends. As you know, we're chatting with Caroline Rosen, the president, and I've appointed her. This happened in June, the intergalactic overlord of Tales of the Cocktail. We're going to keep lobbying on that. We're going to keep pushing that and pushing that and pushing that. I have not run into Neil or Gary in town because we haven't been out in town in a long time. So as soon as I see him, I mean, I'll browbeat Bodenheimer if I have to make that happen. Oh, I got to tell you something really funny, even though we're on the air, so I don't know if you caught this. So we hadn't really been anywhere like most people for a long time, and we went to Cure, and we had time to kill. We had some business stuff going on in town, Sylvia, my lovely wife, and I, and we had dinner reservations uptown for an early dinner out on a patio. This was about 3 weeks ago, and we're like, oh, we got about 45 minutes to kill. Let's go to Cure. I think they're open. They open at 4. Hadn't been there in, you know, like about a year. And so we wander in there, and they're like, oh, hey, you guys, you know, it's fun to see friends and things like that. And they're setting up the bar, Caroline, for the first time to have people sit at the bar. And Matt Young, you know, Matt Young, mutual friend of ours, right? I think, you know, so Matt's the GM there now, or bar manager there. And Matt's like, you know, we're setting up the bar to have the first customers today sit at the bar. It needs to be you two since you walked in. So Matt, actually, they weren't going to do it for about an hour, but Matt set up couple bar stools at the bar at Cure. And just so people know, listening, Cure is a fine uptown bar, Beard Award winner, all that stuff. And the co-owner is our good friend, Neil Bodenheimer, is co-chair of the board of Tales of the Cocktail, for folks who don't know all that. And so, yeah, so we actually sat at the bar, and coincidentally, we were the first bar customers to sit at the bar at Cure in a year. So, which is totally, and like, it's not like we're famous around town or like any, like I said, I swing no axe, but Matt put it on social media and we commented and I shared a little bit on social myself. And I'm like, this was not a publicity stunt for the Noel Drink Show. I pull no strings. No one cares who I am. We actually just walked in and Matt's like, you guys need to be the first people to sit at the bar. It was cool. I mean, it was like, wow, this is weird, but so awesome.
That's amazing. That is like the story that we will continue to tell for years to come.
I'll remind Neil, he got some mileage out of it on social. I'm sure people unfollowed Cure when they saw that, but no way. Well, Caroline, let me ask you this, because I want to ask you one thing first really quick, because we were talking about all kinds of other cool stuff that Tails does year-round. And one thing that you guys started to do that I saw the other day for the first time, which I haven't had a chance to listen to yet, but you started doing these really cool bartender playlists. Can you tell people about that? It's a great idea.
Yes. So we were able, we have an amazing partner with that, and we were able to really look at like what are bartenders listening to. And while they were doing that, and I'm like triple checking like who our partner is on that right now. But you know, and with that, they're actually, so it's Jim Beam and Knob Creek, Maker's Mark, and a few other brands, and it's called Bourbon Time. And they're actually donating after you listen to it back, which I think is really, really amazing. And I think it's also keeping us engaged. It's, you know, not only a cocktail recipe, it's these great like playlists. And if everyone needs a new playlist. Like, we get stuck in our ruts. Sure. And I think it's just one of the amazing ways that we've seen our partners. And we're so like happy to partner with these wonderful people, wonderful brands to help engage and continue to show the creativity of our community.
I think it's a really cool idea. And you featured some really cool bartenders. Like one of the ones I'm looking at right now is our good friend, Kiata Mincy Parker. And Key was on, and since this, the podcast only segments all, it's like a lot of insider shit, Caroline. So I'll go ahead and go down this road. So I had Kiata and Tiffany Barrier on like maybe 3-4 weeks ago. And I met them. You remember this. I actually met them both at your house when we went to tape when you had first started working for Tails. And you were really kind. And you invited, we did our annual Tails preview that we would do. And you said, come to our house Saturday at 11 o'clock. And this one, you're living in the Marigny here in New Orleans. And I'm like, okay, cool. And I remember going to Sylvia, came along with me. And I'm like, oh, wow, you know, 11 o'clock. And I'm like, should we get go drinks to bring over? It's 11 o'clock. I mean, trying to be professional. I didn't really know you. We had met in person a little bit. And we had arranged to have, you know, Tiffany and Kiata on and Daniela. And we walk in and it's like, pictures of greyhounds are already flowing. I'm like, we are so in the right place. And then Tiffany rolls in from across the street where she was staying with like a beer in hand, and you introduce us, and I get the biggest bear hug from Tiffany and like a big kiss on the cheek. I'm like, these people are going to be my friends forever. And literally, and it's totally stayed that way. And so it was really fun because I hadn't seen or really talked to Kiata or Tiffany for a good while, and just having the two of them on the show and talking about their special relationship and stuff like that, and how they're so supportive of each other and all the great things that they do collectively. It was really cool. So I'm telling everyone to go check out Kiata's playlist on the bartender's playlist. You can go to tellsthecocktail.org and it's right there on the homepage.
It's so good. And those two, you literally stayed over that day until we ran out of drinks.
Well, we were there for like 5 hours. I think we like drank everything, and it was like totally nothing. And it took like 3 hours to tape the show because we were just hanging out in between, and it was so fun. What a great day. And I gotta tell you this too about those two. So they have like a tag team nickname, but it was like, I can't remember, like, oh, I can't even remember, but I'm like, I started calling them Key and Coach, and I'm like, it sounds like a buddy cop film. And I see Tiffany, like, she starts to write that down. She's like, no one's ever called us that before. And I'm like, okay, you got to cut me in on the action because you guys are totally Key and Coach. So
I love that. I'm going to start using that too. Okay.
It was the title of the episode. So if you go to like our website there and you want to catch us, just put Key and Coach in the search bar and you'll find Kiata and Tiffany and two of the finest humans, two of the finest bartenders, educators, activists, just terrific people.
Love it. Absolutely love it. I've got to listen to that one. I haven't caught up with that one yet.
It's a good one. It's kind of like this one, Caroline, where there was no like a talking about what we're going to talk about. We just talked. So
yeah. really, it's the best.
Such great people. Yeah, absolutely. Well, let me ask you this, Caroline, because we were kind of touching on this, and I had asked you this before. You know, you and I guess the term I've learned in recent months. You and I are both in adjacent industries to the hospitality industry. All these terms that you know that come out. So I'm going to sound like I'm smart and hip and all that, and I say I'm in an adjacent industry because I do a show on food and drink and culture, and you run Tales of the Cocktail. So you and I don't actually work in the hospitality industry, but we're very close to it. What do you, I mean, and it's hard to prognosticate and stuff, but what's your sense of things that, I mean, like when you're, cause you're tapped into so many people globally, what's the vibe and what are people thinking? And you, I mean, we talked about light at the end of the tunnel and some optimism. Is that kind of what we're seeing across the board? I mean, we are losing establishments and we know people are still struggling.
Yeah. God, I mean, if we're talking about it globally, everywhere is just in such different places still. I mean, so many things in Europe are still completely shut down. I mean, I know that London announced a date where they were going to reopen and everyone's laughing because it's like, everyone's going to go out and lose their mind and they're going to be shut down again. And, you know, my friend Jan McPherson, who's in Edinburgh, just wrote a really interesting piece, and he's the Cocktail Panda on Instagram, about how it is going to take longer than we think. And I don't think that we even know all of the repercussions of what has happened for this last year. And that's on individuals, mentally, physically, it's on businesses. But there is light. And I think, you know, I'm happy to say this, get a vaccine. And I know that that's tough to say, but it is. Yeah, I think that, you know, I personally have, I know that you have, and just, I was lucky to get mine when I was back in New Orleans, and just to feel the city. I mean, I was in New Orleans through Katrina, and for me, going through COVID was, I mean, obviously you don't want to equate those two, but it was, it sucked the soul, you know, like our soul is hospitality. Our soul is gathering and sharing. And I think that there is light. I think it's going to be different. I think that we are all going to be responsible with, we all play a role in how we bring back these institutions and how we engage with them. And I think, you know, we were talking about it. I think everyone is in a way like very, like I'm still very cost sensitive to a lot of things. And so I'm excited to see like how bars, you know, like how do they address that? Are there happy hours? Are people still going to do cocktails? I think that cocktails to go aren't going to go away. I think it's still too early to tell, but I can at least see the light for what that's worth. I'm not an expert by any means, but I think it's really important for us, and especially those people that love drinks and love food and love hospitality, to be able to interact again. We are very fortunate that we can do this and be together digitally, but we know that nothing beats being together in person.
Absolutely. That's a great point. And, you know, I think and from my viewpoint, Caroline, that, excuse me, going out the handful of times that, you know, we want to support places, try to support places. So, it, you know, more deeper back into the pandemic, you know, restaurants being here in New Orleans when they were allowed to open at 25% capacity. Okay. Mm-hmm. Going out. And in all fairness, I wanted to be there to be supportive. It was not a joyous experience for me. Just because it was tense. Everybody, it was so tense. And, you know, we go out, I mean, people cook great, right? The food that you're going to get is probably going to be better than you can make at home. The drinks are going to be better than you can make at home. But, you know, we can all learn how to make drinks and cook at home if you don't already. And so the real value added for going out is going out and being with people. And that part was so much of the joy that was stripped away from this, was that the lack of human contact and how we had to stay distant and order on our phone, and everybody's so tense and so nervous about being out that it did, as I said, for me anyway, kind of stripped a lot of the joy away of being able to go out. But going out recently a little bit, and again, everybody is doing things everywhere we go anyway that we choose to support are people that are doing it the right way. So I don't want to have anyone think anything's frivolous here or being irresponsible. That's changed. I see just like the vibe, the tension is not there as much with the staff, our friends that work in the industry, the guests, when going to places where people are being responsible and being respectful. But the vibe has changed. There's like a weight off, coming off shoulders. It's still there, but it's coming off the shoulders. and it's starting to feel like it's supposed to feel. I don't quite feel all the way there yet, but it's getting
right. Yeah. And I think that, I mean, you can feel it. It's just like New Orleans finally feels like, and again, like with all the caveats that we've said, and it's exciting because I don't think we knew, I did not know how much we needed that. I don't, for those that have been to New Orleans, I'm sure you've heard of, or you've been to Brennan's. And I remember not this past Easter, but the Easter before, they had the Easter bunny on their Instagram, you know, going down the street on a completely abandoned Royal Street. And that's just like one of the images from COVID. That and like Cafe du Monde with no one in front of it and all the tables up are the two images that like just stick in my head. And I think it's exciting. And I think that we also have to be gentle with one another. Like people aren't going to come back to the 100% that they were, and meeting people on their journey there. And even meeting our coworkers, our staff, our everyone else. Like, I think it's going to be a long road, but I think it's an exciting one. And if COVID has taught me anything, it is like meet people where they are and just try to be gracious with one another, because it's taken a toll on all of us.
Absolutely. That's really, thank you for saying that. We actually talked about something on the show, the previous show to this one, that people probably will have heard by then, and talking to a couple service industry veterans, Sophie Burton, who runs the bar at the Maha, and Jeffrey Wilson, whom you probably know at Turning Tables and works at Latitude 29. And we were sort of talking about how now the customers are coming back in. People, it's been kind of cutting two ways. A lot of people have changed their, they're so much more respectful and they're more in tune with other people, and they're, you know, being gracious and being polite and being respectful and maybe paying attention to things that they hadn't paid attention to before, with our friends in the hospitality industry. But then kind of troubling is that, you know, getting this very anecdotal, but them both telling me stories, and we talked about some of these on the air, of people being jerks. And even more so, where it's kind of that attitude of like, now I've been pent up for so long, and now I'm going to go out and go kick people that I can go kick, which oftentimes is our friends in the hospitality industry. And that's always been the case. But like people being called names and things, like Sophie was indicating that it had been a lot worse than it had been before for her. And that's troubling. And so thank you for saying that, because people need to remember everybody's gone through a hard time, and our friends in the hospitality industry in particular have gone through a hell of a time. And be respectful to people. And, you know, people are there to provide you hospitality. They're not there to kiss your ass.
Exactly. Exactly.
I think that's
exactly.
I think that's really important. So, that'll be the end of my editorial on this, but let's all be kind to one another. Please get vaccinated and be kind to one another. Caroline, anything else you want to tell us about Tails before we go, or anything like exciting to look for? I mean, we've touched on a lot of stuff, I think. Why don't you reiterate the dates for this year? And we don't have dates for 2022, do we? It's just back in person in New Orleans.
It's going to be in July. It's going to be in New Orleans for 2022. We'll have those dates and the location ready at least by Tails, if not this July. We hope that you will join us for our hybrid Tails in September of this year, and that you will go out and support all of your community bars. You can find us on talesofthecocktail.org. You can also find us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all of those wonderful places. And, you know, our goal this year is to support these bars, support these bartenders, and really make sure that they know that they are truly a part of the fabric of each of our communities. And I'm really, really excited to see you, give you a hug, and have a great cocktail.
Awesome. That sounds great. Caroline, thank you so much for the time. I really appreciate it. It's always a pleasure to see you, even on a computer screen, and chat with you. And we'll get a drink when you're back up here in New Orleans next time.
Absolutely.
Great. Thanks so much. Friends, we're going to take a brief musical interlude, and I'll be back to close things out. All right, everybody. Hey, thanks for listening to this installment of the NOLA Drink Show. Happy to have had you here. Always a pleasure, and thanks for being a listener. I do really, really appreciate it. Got a good show coming up for you next time around. We're going to be chatting with Bart Watson, who is the chief economist for the Brewers Association. Bart was on
a few months ago, kind of as quarter number three wrapped up in 2020, and Bart promised to come back and talk about the whole year of 2020 after we had a good hindsight view of it, and the Brewers Association has started to put out some of their annual reporting, and Bart's going to come back on and talk to us about the state of the craft beer industry in the United States, obviously discuss a lot about the effects of the pandemic on the industry, and then looking forward to kind of what to expect for the rest of 2021. Really a great guest. Bart's a very knowledgeable guy and brings a lot to the table when it comes to discussing the craft beer industry. So looking forward to that. Please do check that out. Hope you enjoyed this conversation with Caroline, president of Tales of the Cocktail, as you know. And as we talked about during the conversation, we are all very, very hopeful that in 2022, Tales of the Cocktail will be able to return to its usual slot there in July here in New Orleans. It's such an important event, friends, and we've talked about it before on the show. It's the low season in New Orleans, and we depend on the hospitality here in New Orleans. If you're from here, you know that. If you're not from here, you probably know that. But if not, it's the case. And, you know, we're a very seasonal town when it comes to tourism. It's our biggest industry in the city. And, yeah, it's a shot in the arm whenever Tales of the Cocktail happens that third week in July for the, you know, for the city in general, but especially for our friends in the hospitality industry, because it's really slow, as I've said. So people actually make a lot of money during that week. Bartenders are good tippers. People in the spirits industries are good tippers. Go figure. But yeah, it's a really, really important economic event. This goes back to, I think the last numbers I saw were either for 2017 or 2018, if I'm not mistaken. But either way, it's estimated that when Tales is in full tilt and we're doing it here as we should be, full on in person, it's a little bit over $20 million a year of economic impact on the city. That is nothing to sneeze at. Plus, it's a lot of fun. We get to see, you know, our friends. It's, you can buy tickets if you're part of the general public. It is the largest bartending and spirits professional conference in the world, and it just fits right here in New Orleans, doesn't it? If you've been, you know. If you haven't been, start thinking about making plans to come see us in 2022. Yeah, it's hot, but that event is really fun. A lot of pool parties, just, you know, just to keep that in mind, too. But it's a fantastic event, and hey, I'm really happy that they pulled it out to do something in 2020 virtually. Great idea to do it in a hybrid sense this year. Smart decision-making to push it back a little bit, keep it safe, and let people do some stuff where they can in person. And then next year, let's get right back at it. Friends, that's our parting shot. Here's to you.